A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Chapter 7, Yea, Though I Walk Through the Valley. From a shepherd's point of view, this statement marks the halfway stage in the psalm. It is as though up to this point, the sheep has been boasting to its unfortunate neighbor across the fence about the excellent care it received from its owner on the home range throughout the winter and spring. Now it turns to address the shepherd directly. The personal pronouns I and thou enter the conversation. It becomes a most intimate discourse of deep affection. This is natural and normal. The long treks into the high country with their summer range begin here. Left behind are the neglected sheep on the other side of the fence. Their owner knows nothing of the hill country, the mountain meadows to which these sheep will be led. Their summer will be spent in the close companionship and solitary care of the Good Shepherd. Both in Palestine and on our western sheep ranches, this division of the year is common practice. Most of the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks onto distant summer ranges during summer. This often entails long drives. The sheep move along slowly, feeding as they go, gradually working their way up the mountains behind the receding snow. By late summer, they are well up on the remote alpine meadows above timberline. With the approach of autumn, early snow settles on the highest ridges, relentlessly forcing the flock to withdraw back down to lower elevations. Finally, toward the end of the year as fall passes, the sheep are driven home to the ranch headquarters where they will spend the winter. It is this segment of the yearly operations that is described in the last half of the poem. During this time, the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd. They are in intimate contact with him and under his most personal attention day and night. That is why these last verses are couched in such intimate first-person language. And it is well to remember that all of this is done against a dramatic background of wild mountains, rushing rivers, alpine meadows, and high rangelands. David, the psalmist, of course knew this type of terrain firsthand. When Samuel was sent to God to anoint him king over Israel, he was not at home with his brothers on the home ranch. Instead, he was high up on the hills, tending his father's flock. They had to send for him to come home. It is no wonder he could write so clearly and concisely of the relationship between a sheep and its owner. He knew from firsthand experience about all the difficulties and dangers, as well as delights, of the treks into high country. Again and again, he had gone up into the summer range with his sheep. He knew this wild but wonderful country like the palm of his own strong hand. Never did he take his flock where he had not already been before. Always he had gone ahead to look over the country with care. All the dangers of rampaging rivers in flood, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, the ravages of predators that raid the flock, or the awesome storms of sleet and hail and snow were familiar to him. He had handled his sheep and managed them with care under all these adverse conditions. Nothing took him by surprise. He was fully prepared to safeguard his flock and tend them with skill under every circumstance. All of this is brought out in the beautiful simplicity of the last verses. Here is a grandeur, a quietness, an assurance that sets the soul at rest. I will not fear, for thou art with me in every situation, in every dark trial, in every dismal disappointment, in every distressing dilemma. In the Christian life, we often speak of wanting to move onto higher ground with God. How we long to live above the lowlands of life. We want to get beyond the common crowd to enter a more intimate walk with God. We speak of mountaintop experiences and the envy of those who have ascended the heights and entered into the more sublime sort of life. Often we get an erroneous idea about how this takes place. It is as though we imagined we could be airlifted onto higher ground. On the rough trail of the Christian life, this is not so. As with ordinary sheep management, so with God's people. One only gains higher ground by climbing up through the valleys. Every mountain has its valley. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and gulches and draws, and the best route to the top is always along these valleys. Any sheepman familiar with the high country knows this. He leads his flock gently, but persistently, up the paths that wind through the dark valleys. It should be noticed that the verse states, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It does not say I die there or stop there, but rather I walk through. It is customary to use this verse as a consolation to those who are passing through the dark valley of death. But even here, for the child of God, death is not an end, but merely the door into a higher and more exalted life of intimate contact with Christ. Death is but the dark valley opening out into an eternity of light with God. It is not something to fear, but an experience through which one passes on the path to a more perfect life. The Good Shepherd knows this. It is one reason why he has told us, "Lo, I am with you always." Yes, even in the valley of death, what a comfort and what a cheer. I was keenly aware of this consolation when my wife went to higher ground. For 2 years, we had walked through the dark valley of death, watching her beautiful body being destroyed by cancer. As death approached, I sat by her bed, her hand in mine. Gently we passed through the valley of death. Both of us were quietly aware of Christ's presence. There was no fear, just a going on to higher ground. For those of us who remain on earth, there is still a life to live here and now. There are still valleys to walk through during our remaining days. These need not be dead-end streets. The disappointments, the frustrations, the discouragements, the dilemmas, the dark, difficult days, though they be shadowed valleys, need not be disasters. They can be the road to higher ground in our walk with God. After all, when we pause to think about it a moment, we must realize that even our modern mountain highways follow the valley to reach the summit of the passes they traverse. Similarly, the ways of God lead upward through the valleys of our lives. Again and again, I remind myself, "Oh God, this seems terribly tough, but I know for a fact that in the end it will prove to be the easiest and gentlest way to get me onto higher ground." Then when I thank him for the difficult things, the dark days, I discover that he is there with me in my distress. At that point, my panic, my fear, my misgivings give way to calm and quiet confidence in his care. Somehow, in a serene, quiet way, I am assured all will turn out well for my best because he is with me in the valley and things are under his control. To come to this conviction in the Christian life is to have entered into an attitude of quiet acceptance of every adversity. It is to have moved onto higher ground with God. Knowing him in this new and intimate manner makes life much more bearable than before. There is a second reason why sheep are taken to the mountaintops by way of the valleys. Not only is this the way of the gentlest grades, but also it is the well-watered route. Here one finds refreshing water all along the way. There are rivers, streams, springs, and quiet pools in the deep defiles. During the summer months, long drives can be hot and tiresome. The flocks experience intense thirst. How glad they are for the frequent watering places along the valley route where they can be refreshed. I recall one year when an enormous flock of over 10,000 sheep was being taken through our country en route to their summer range. The owners came asking permission to water their sheep at the river that flowed by our ranch. Their thirsty flocks literally ran to the water's edge to quench their burning thirst under the blazing summer sun. Only in our valley was there water for their parched flesh. How glad we were to share the water with them. As Christians, we will sooner or later discover that it is in the valleys of our lives that we find refreshment from God Himself. It is not until we have walked with Him through some very deep troubles that we discover He can lead us to find a refreshment in Him right there in the midst of our difficulty. We are thrilled beyond words when there comes restoration to our souls and spirits from His own gracious Spirit. During my wife's illness and after her death, I could not get over the strength, solace, and serene outlook imparted to me virtually hour by hour by the presence of God's gracious Spirit Himself. It was as if I was being repeatedly refreshed and restored despite the most difficult circumstances all around me. Unless one has actually gone through such an experience, it may seem difficult to believe. In fact, there are those who claim they could not face such a situation. But for the man or woman who walks with God through the valleys, such real and actual refreshment is available. The corollary to this is that only those who have been through such dark valleys can console, comfort, or encourage others in similar situations. Often we pray or sing the hymn requesting God to make us an inspiration to someone else. We want instinctively to be a channel of blessing to other lives. The simple fact is that just as water can only flow in a ditch or channel or valley, so in the Christian's career, the life of God can only flow in blessing through the valleys that have been carved and cut into our own lives by excruciating experiences. For example, the one best able to comfort another in bereavement is the person who himself has lost a loved one. The one who can best minister to a broken heart is one who has known a broken heart. Most of us do not want valleys in our lives. We shrink from them with a sense of fear and foreboding. Yet in spite of our worst misgivings, God can bring great benefit and lasting benediction to others through those valleys. Let us not always try to avoid the dark things, the distressing days. They may well prove to be the way of greatest refreshment to ourselves and those around us. A third reason why the rancher chooses to take his flock into the high country by way of the valleys is that this is generally where the richest feed and best forage is to be found along the route. The flock is moved along gently. They are not hurried. There are lambs along which should never have been this way before. The shepherd wants to be sure there will not only be water, but also the best grazing available for the ewes and their lambs. Generally, the choicest meadows are in these valleys along the stream banks. Here the sheep can feed as they move toward the high country. Naturally, these grassy glades are often on the floor of steep-walled canyons and gulches. There may be towering cliffs above them on either side. The valley floor itself may be in dark shadow, with the sun seldom reaching the bottom except for a few hours around noon. The shepherd knows from past experience that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, or cougars can take cover in these broken cliffs and from their vantage point prey on his flock. He knows these valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water rampaging down the slopes. There could be rock slides, mud, or snow avalanches, and a dozen other natural disasters that would destroy or injure his sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock to the high country. He spares himself no pains or trouble or time to keep an eye out for any danger that might develop. One of the most terrible threats is the sudden chilling storms of sleet, rain, and snow that can sweep down through the valleys from the mountain peaks. If sheep become soaked and chilled with the freezing rain, the exposure can kill them in a very short time. They are thin-skinned creatures, easily susceptible to colds, pneumonia, and other respiratory complications. I recall one storm I went through in the foothills of the Rockies in early summer. The morning had been bright and clear. Suddenly, around noon, enormous, dark, black, forbidding clouds began to sweep down over the hills from the north. A chilling wind accompanied the approaching storm. The sky grew blacker by the hour. Suddenly, in mid-afternoon, long streamers of rain and sleet began to sweep across the valley. I ran to take shelter in a clump of stunted, wind-blown spruce. The rain soaked me through. As it fell, it cooled the whole country. The rain turned to sleet, then turned to commingled snow and hail. In a short time, the whole mountain slope, in mid-July, was white and frozen. Ominous darkness shrouded the whole scene. The sheep sensed the storm approaching. Perhaps the flock would have perished if they had not raced away to find shelter in the steep cliffs at the edge of the canyon. But in these valleys was where the grass grew best, and it was the route to the high country. Our shepherd knows all of this when he leads us through the valleys with himself. He knows where we can find strength and sustenance and gentle grazing despite every threat of disaster about us. It is a most reassuring and reinforcing experience to the child of God to discover that there is, even in the dark valley, a source of strength and courage to be found in God. It is when he can look back over life and see how the shepherd's hand has guided and sustained him in the darkest hours that renewed faith is energized. I know of nothing which so stimulates my faith in my Heavenly Father as to look back and reflect on his faithfulness to me in every crisis and every chilling circumstance of life. Over and over, he has proved his care and concern for my welfare. Again and again, I have been conscious of the Good Shepherd's guidance through my dark days and deep valleys. All of this multiplies my confidence in Christ. It is the spiritual as well as emotional and mental exposure to the storms and adversities of life that puts stamina into my very being. Because he has led me through without fear before, he can do it again, and again, and again. In this knowledge, fear fades and tranquility of heart and mind takes its place. Let come what may, storms may break about me, predators may attack, the rivers of reverses may threaten to inundate me, but because he is in the situation with me, I shall not fear. To live thus is to have taken some very long treks toward the high country of holy, calm, healthy living with God. Only the Christian who learns to live this way is able to encourage and inspire the weaker ones around him. Too many of us are shaken up, frightened, and panicked by the storms of life. We claim to have confidence in Christ, but when the first dark shadows sweep over us, and the path we tread looks gloomy, we go into a deep slump of despair. Sometimes we just feel like lying down to die. This is not as it should be. The person with a powerful confidence in Christ, the one who has proved by past experience that God is with him in adversity, the one who walks through life's valleys without fear, his head held high, is the one who in turn is a tower of strength and a source of inspiration to his companions. There are going to be some valleys in life for all of us. The Good Shepherd himself assured us that in this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. The basic question is not whether we have many or few valleys. It is not whether those valleys are dark or merely dim with shadows. The question is, how do I react to them? How do I go through them? How do I cope with the calamities that come my way? With Christ, I face them calmly. With his gracious spirit to guide me, I face them fearlessly. I know of a surety that only through them can I possibly travel onto higher ground with God. In this way, not only shall I be blessed, but in turn, I will become a benediction to others around me who may live in fear.